Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 19. And if you'll stand, please, as we do every Sunday. All right, I'll read verse 1 and you'll read verse 2, and you know how this goes. And then I'll read 3 and you read 4. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria.
And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child.
And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Please remain standing.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we think about the things that confronted Mary and how she pondered them. And Lord, we pray that we would have things that you would show us today that we would take with us and ponder in our heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. As soon as Thanksgiving's over, in these United States, we begin the Christmas season. And this season is a very special time. It's a special time to me. I always think between Thanksgiving and Christmas about how the Lord came into the world the first time. And I think about how after 4,000 years he appeared and actually walked in this world, our Lord, our God that made this world. And I think not only about the time that he came 2,000 years ago, but you know what I think about in 2007, and I've thought about it for the last number of years, how that the Lord is going to come back a second time. That Christmas is not just, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, you know the story? You remember the spirit of Christmas past? Remember the spirit of Christmas present? I'm getting on some of your wavelength here. You remember the spirit of Christmas future? Well, there is a past Christmas, the first time the Lord came into this world, and that was his first coming when he was born. But there is the second coming of the Lord when he's going to come again, and he's going to come in this world. And as he comes the second time into this world, he's going to come and fulfill the prophecies that are in the Bible. And the people that were here when he came the first time, they actually got to experience prophecy being fulfilled and Jesus coming into this world. And some of them didn't understand it fully, just like some of you are not going to understand it fully when the second coming happens. But this morning, I want to challenge you between Thanksgiving and Christmas that you would take time and don't let the pressure of life, don't let the devil, don't let somebody in church, maybe some girl talking to you or some guy talking to you, keep you from hearing the Word of God this morning. Don't let anything pressure you from what God wants you to do, and that is He wants you to ponder and prize the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And look what it says in verse 19 of chapter 2 in your Bible. Turn there, Luke 19, Luke 2, verse verse 19, speaking of Mary on that first Christmas, here's what it said about Mary. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This is when the Lord appeared as a newborn baby. Mary had just had that baby. She's a virgin girl. And she had a baby. It was a miracle. And the shepherds showed up. And they began to talk about the angels. And Mary, the Bible said, was seeing what God was doing. And He was using her. And she didn't fully understand everything God was doing. She was just a teenage girl. She's probably 15 years old or so. And the Bible says that she pondered in her heart what was going on here. And I want to challenge you during this Christmas time to be like Mary, to ponder and to wonder about the revelations in the Bible regarding the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because, you see, during that first Christmas season, that's what Mary did. And I'm afraid now during Christmas season we have all kinds of things to distract us away from pondering in our heart what the Lord is showing us. You see, the Lord, if you're a child of God today, you are special to God. He knows your name. He knew you were here in this service. He has something for you to hear. And you, hey, back there, by the way, teenagers, you listen to me. He's got something for you to hear if you're here in this service, and He wants you to sit up and listen. And listen to me, ponder in your heart what the Lord has to say. When I come to the pulpit, I come with a message that God has given me to give to you from His Word, and that's serious business with me. And it ought to be serious business with you that God Almighty has taken the time to write you a message and to give you a man of God to deliver that message on a Sunday morning. And He has something to say that you can take it with you and ponder it in your heart. But the devil doesn't want you to do that. The world does not want you to do that today. And I want to challenge you to do that. And I want to say, first of all, this morning, that your pondering involves paying a price, many times a painful price. You see, Mary was told by the angel Gabriel when her cousin Elizabeth, who is an older lady, Elizabeth may have been beyond the years that a lady could have children, and even when she was old enough to have children or young enough to have children, she was barren and couldn't get pregnant from her husband Zacharias. She never had a baby. She wanted a baby. Now, suddenly, the angel Gabriel appears from heaven to a little town called Nazareth, a little podunk town in northern Israel, and he gets this teenage girl who's there, and she is engaged to be married to a man that's a little bit more older, established man, and could take care of her during those days. And she was engaged to be married, which is legally married, but they don't come together. It's called being espoused. And so they had not been together, but they were prepared to get married. And she was told by the angel Gabriel that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant 6 months already. And then she was told that she was going to be pregnant. And here she wasn't married. She was engaged to be married. She didn't have a man. She was a virgin. And she said to the angel, she said, how? How am I going to get pregnant? And look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. It says there, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In other words, he's saying to her, you're not going to have a man. You're not going to be pregnant by a man. You're going to be pregnant by a miracle of God, by the Holy Ghost of God. And you're going to get pregnant as a virgin. And therefore the child in your womb is going to be the Son of God the Father. Now, God had a son called Adam that he made from the dust of the ground, but God, his only begotten son, is Jesus, because that's the only son that he begat through a woman by a miracle. She's the only woman ever to have God's child that way. What a miracle. That's how God entered this world. That's how the first Christmas began. And this teenage girl, she pondered that. What is this that's going on with me? Now, she was faithful to God, and God saw that. You're here today on a faithful Sunday. God sees that. He has something for you today from His Word that He wants you to take into your heart. Not into your womb, but into your heart, which is inside of you. And He wants you to ponder it and to keep it there. The word keep means to treasure it. Do you think Mary treasured that little baby? Oh, that holy baby? The holy Son of God? I think she did. I think she treasured it. I think when that baby started kicking inside of her, she treasured it. That was God's son. That baby was like kicking inside of her. I think, right, the Bible says right after that, she went down to her cousin Elizabeth, which was many miles to the south, and she spent a number of months there with her until Elizabeth had her baby, about 3 months with Elizabeth. And no doubt when the baby started kicking, she said, Elizabeth, feel my baby. It's kicking. And no doubt Elizabeth said, feel my baby. It's kicking. And she treasured that baby. And the Bible said she kept those things in her heart. And the word kept there means to keep like a buried treasure. She treasured something. Have you ever had something you really liked? Maybe it was a Christmas present or a nice gift. And you really treasured that present. And you really kept it. I gave my wife a car last year. And she kept good care of that car. She made sure nobody messed up that car. Keep it nice. That was special. And the Lord gave Mary a gift, and she pondered it. Now listen to me. When God shows you something from His Word about Himself, about what the Bible says, that's something that you need to have and keep it in your heart as something very special that God has shown you. As some of you, He's shown you, I want you to be pure and virginal until you get married. Then don't let anybody take that treasure from you. You keep that in your heart. So when you walk down that aisle and you get married, you say, I have kept that vow to the Lord since I made it to be pure as unto the Lord. Mary kept that in her heart. But wait a minute, it was painful. What do you think her dad thought when she came back from Elizabeth 3 months later and he saw her belly like that and she was going to be married to Joseph and there was her belly? And she said, Dad, he said, what's that? She said, Dad, that's a baby. He said, who's the father? She said, God. Well, how'd this happen? Angel told me. Doesn't say what her dad said, but I wouldn't want to be in that place. The Bible says that the village began to talk about her. They claimed he was a fornication. There are people today that are unbelievers, that are wicked men, that claim that she got pregnant by a Roman soldier. They're blasphemers. Hollywood producers that claim that this was not a holy thing. We believe it was a miracle. We believe Isaiah 7:14 that says, one of the teenage girls called me up and asked me about a good verse to put down. And I quoted that verse. Isaiah 7:14, it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And I'll bring forth a child, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That must have been very painful, because the village began to talk. And what was Mary's response when the angel said to her, you're going to have this baby? She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. You do with me what you want to do with me. She said, I submit myself to you. Go ahead. How about you? When God shows you something, are you willing to do it? If God shows you something from His Word, are you willing to do it? Maybe God has shown you, I want you to witness for Jesus Christ. Are you willing to go out with those that tell others about the Lord? Are you going to do that? Or will you say, no, I won't do that? Maybe God says from His Word, I want you to dress in a certain way to package your purity in clothing that's modest. Are you going to do that? Are you going to do what God wants you to do? Listen, if you do, you will pay a price for it. Maybe somebody wants to talk to you in church and you say, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to listen to the preacher. People talk behind your back. Whatever it is, are you willing to pay a price for doing what God wants you to do? You know, years ago, I studied the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I learned some prophecies from the Bible that the Lord showed me about His coming that I knew would be very unpopular with the Bible college I was going to. It would be very unpopular with preachers. But I stood up in front of the church and I preached about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the message that I preached, and many people didn't like what I preached. And I began to realize that when you do what God wants you to do, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes you pay a price. Sometimes your friends will leave you. They'll forsake you. But guess what? You'll make better friends. When Mary's quote-unquote friends began to talk behind her back when they didn't believe her, she left them. Now, I don't know if Mary really loved Joseph right away when they got engaged. Because back then, the parents would get together many times. I don't know if she loved him or not. He was older than her. I don't know if she loved him. But I'll tell you what, I believe she did love him because she saw how much he loved her. When she told Joseph about it, he could have had her stoned. In the law of that day, they would take stones, and if a girl got pregnant outside of marriage, they were to take stones, especially if she was engaged to a godly man, they were to take stones and stone her till she died. And Joseph said, I'm not going to report this. You said that if God, you said you're pregnant from God. He said, maybe he said, I don't really believe it, but I'm not going to report it. He said, I'm not going to have you stoned. I'm going to just divorce you privately and break up the marriage privately before we come together. I'm not going to divorce you. And that's what he did. But he didn't do that because an angel stopped him in a dream, and an angel said, that child is God's son. And he went back to her and he said, Mary, I believe you. You know how she must have felt to have this guy that she was going to marry believe her? How that brought them together in closeness? And though they never came together physically until after she had the baby, they did have their marriage and they did have their wedding. But I'm just saying to you, listen to me, when you follow God and you do what God wants you to do, it might be a painful thing. I remember when I followed God, God called me to be a preacher and He called me to go to Bible college. And I remember when I went to Bible college, people didn't understand it. And some people talked against it and said you shouldn't go. But I knew God wanted me to go. And when God wants you to do something, you follow through. Maybe there are people in your family. They don't support you doing the things that you're doing. But you just quietly, don't argue, just quietly show them how when you ponder the Word of God in your heart, it makes you a better son, it makes you a better daughter, it makes you a better Christian and a better person, and they'll see that. I remember my father, he didn't understand me being a preacher and everything. He didn't understand me going to Bible college. But listen to me, my father, when I went to Bible college, you know what he saw? He saw something different when I went to Bible college. In my life, he saw a change in my life, and my father recognized it. And to this day, my father, to this day, he knows there's something special that God has done in my life. And we talk about it. He says, you got changed, Randy, when you were 17. Because I was a guy, when I was 17, I was not going down the right track. I was going away from God. And he knows my life was turned around. That's why I want some of you to listen this morning so you can ponder in your heart the Word of God. And you'll pay a price for it. Number two, though, I want you to see that when you ponder in your heart things about the Lord, when you really do that in your life, secondly, it involves God's power. It involves God's power. You see, the Bible says that when God told Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, that his older wife was going to get pregnant, he didn't believe it. And God said, okay, because you didn't believe what I'm going to do, I'm going to shut your mouth. And Zacharias wasn't able to talk. He had to write. He couldn't talk. God took his voice away. Mary, on the other hand, when God said, you're going to get pregnant. You're not going to have a husband, but you're going to get pregnant by a miracle that I'm going to do. You know what Mary said? Okay, I'm available. Go ahead. In other words, she believed that God could do it. You know, some of you You're going to be afraid to do what God wants you to do? You say, I can't do what God wants me to do. I remember I was afraid to go to church and get afraid to go down forward and make decisions for Christ. I was afraid to get baptized. I was afraid to go out soul winning. I was afraid to do certain things. But every time I stepped out in faith and I said, God, I can't do this in my own strength, I found out God gave me the strength to do it. And those are the ones that are going to serve God. Listen, you don't have to have the greatest talent. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer intellectually. You don't have to be the most beautiful girl or the strongest guy. What God is looking for is somebody that will just be dumb enough to believe His word. To believe that He can use you. And so when you ponder in your heart, you're not only pondering something that's going to be painful and you're going to have to pay a price for it, but you're pondering something you're going to have to rely upon God's power to help you do it. I think of Neil Hiller, who's here today. Neil and I were talking. He was one of our first bus kids. And Neil, after he got out of school, God began to work in his heart to really do what God wanted him to do. And one thing Neil used to do every week, he would always come. He would even call me at my house and say, I need a ride because I want to go out, what? Soul winning. Some of you teenagers are going to be learning to do that today. He did that. And when he got out of high school, God began to work in his heart. Neil went to youth conference a few times. When did God really begin to work in your heart? Was it a little before that?
During
youth conference. See, he made himself available to go to youth conference with the youth group and let God speak through godly preachers to his heart. Neil learned to listen. He didn't know a whole lot. But God, the Holy Spirit, began to work in his life. God got a hold of him and called him to go to Bible college and work in the bus ministry. And God's doing a work in his life. He's using him in his family. I'm saying God's got the power. God's got the wisdom. God's got the wealth. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. You don't have to be the most beautiful. You don't have to be the most popular. No, God's not looking for that. I don't believe Mary was all of that. I believe Mary had a heart for God. And that's what it says. She pondered the word of God in her heart. That meant when the preacher was preaching, Mary, listen. That meant when her parents were talking about the Word of God, Mary listened. That meant when older women talked to her about purity and godliness and the importance of it, Mary listened. Amen. And what you're hearing up here is important because it will protect you from the devil. It'll protect you from the world wants to do to you.
Amen.
You got to ponder it in your heart. I want to say one more thing about this, and that this pondering involves you're perceiving the person of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 10, it says this, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is, listen, Christ the Lord. The shepherds heard that. After Mary had the baby, the shepherds came to Mary, and they said, no doubt, that we heard from an angel that the baby that you have right there is the Lord. That meant he's Jehovah. He's God. Now, she was told he's the Son of God, that God's going to make you pregnant. Angel Gabriel told her that. Now she's being told, yeah, but he is God. He's equal with the Father. You have God. There. Now, she knew he was a baby that she had. He kicked in her body. He had her DNA in him. He had no human father's DNA, but he had a human mother, hers. She knew as a mom, that's my baby. Any mother knows that's my baby. That baby came from between my feet. That's my baby. And that's mine. But he said, wait a minute. The shepherd said, but that's God. You're holding God there. You're nursing God. Now, he's also a man, but he's God. He's special. He's special. And the Bible said she's like, huh. She pondered that in her heart. Now listen to me. Later on, he was a 12-year-old boy. I'm sure he was a perfect boy, a perfect 12-year-old. Anybody here 12 years old? Okay. He was a 12-year-old boy. Are you perfect, Mark? Not quite. Mark's a good kid, though. I like Mark. And he listens real good in church. I like that. But he was a 12-year-old boy, and nice boy, perfect boy, Jesus. But he was her boy. She was used to having him around the house. His brothers didn't even believe he was the Messiah. He was just a big brother. They didn't believe the stories about him being God. They didn't believe it. He was a brother. A good brother, but he's a brother. But then, you see, the Bible says something happened, and I want you to notice Mary made a big mistake, and the Lord dealt with her. By the way, those of you who believe the Virgin Mary is perfect and all that stuff, sinless, no, she's not. She needed to be saved just like you do. Go to Luke chapter 2, verse 48, 49, and 51. Luke chapter 2, 48, 49, and 51. And before I look at this, because I'm going to finish with this, I want you all to listen. Tonight, I'm going to preach the last point of this message, and the last point is going to be about things to ponder about the Lord coming back. I don't want you to miss this tonight. Come back at 7. Even if you don't normally come, get the rest of this message. All right, Luke chapter 2, 48 says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou," remember he's 12 years old, "why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I had sought thee sorrowing." That's when the Lord, remember, got away from his parents. He went into the temple. He was talking to the religious leaders in the temple, the Sanhedrin, the elders and the teachers of the law. And they left to go back home to Nazareth. And they had traveled a number of days, and he was still back there. And they had to go back and find him. And she's complaining about that. And look what it says in verse 49. Or look what it says in verse 48. "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Look what he said in verse 49. "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye or know ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Who's his father? God. Now, Joseph was his adopted father, but his birth father, by a miracle, was God. And he's reminding her of that. And look at the next verse. Look up at verse number. I want you to see how that hit her. Look at verse 51 of that same chapter. Look what she did when she saw that in verse 51. It says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." In other words, man, he is God. He's saying, "God is my father. I remember. That's what the angel told me." And she began to think about it. Listen to me today. God wants you to take things from your Sunday school class. God wants you to take things from your youth group. God wants you to take things from the sermons that the pastor preaches. God wants you to take things from a missionary conference, from a youth group. God wants you to take things from the Word of God that you read and that you study. And God wants you during this Christmas season to ponder things in His heart that He wants to show you about Himself. Because someday, if you're saved, you're going to see Jesus face to face. But right now, you can see Him in the Bible as He helps you to understand His will for your life. And I want to say this in closing. One thing He wants you to know is that He died on the cross to take your sins away. And whatever you've done, He is the Savior who can remove your sins. If you call upon Him to wipe your sins away by faith, He will do it because He promised. And once you've been saved, ponder in your heart that He wants you to do His will. You may suffer pain, you may pay a price for it, but always do what the Lord wants you to do because He knows what's best for you. And don't be afraid to serve God. Hey, I've been serving God for years, but you know what? I get afraid when God wants me to do things. Still, I get afraid. But I have to trust Him for His power, and I obey and I step out, and God gives me His power. Every day He helps me, one day at a time. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I believe God's given me a message for you this morning that you could ponder in your heart. And I wonder if there's some things that the Lord has been speaking to you about that he wants you to do. Maybe it's being saved, and he wants you to get saved. Maybe it's doing something for the Lord, something he wants you to do to serve him. Maybe it's something about your dress and your attitude. He wants you to change it. Well, he owns you. He bought you. And so you need to take that and ponder it. And then act on it. Because once you put it in your heart, then you can act on it. But it has to be in your heart first. I wonder if you say, preacher, God's been speaking to my heart about something and I need to put it in my heart and act on it. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your right hand wherever you are, all over this building? Amen. Many of you. God's been speaking to my heart. Amen. Amen. There's some things that he wants me to ponder in my heart. Maybe you're here today and you watch too much TV. Maybe you're here today and you listen to too much radio. If you listen to any rock music at all, you listen to too much. Maybe you're here today and there are things that are distracting you from pondering the Lord. I remember my brother when he was a kid and I came back from Bible college, he'd watch 3 hours of TV every night. He'd do more TV than he'd do his homework. And then I told my brother, why don't you take that TV time and take a good part of it at least and read your Bible? And you know what? He began to do that, and God began to change his life through the Bible. Some of you, you need to ponder the Word of God. You need to have a time to read the Bible every day. I wonder who will say, preacher, I don't really read the Bible every day like I ought to. Things are keeping me from it, but I need to. Would you pray for me? I'm willing to read the Bible every day. Would you slip your hand up? Hold it up high. Let me see it. Amen. 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 God wants you to ponder the Word of God. Just like Mary pondered the Word of God when she was spoken to. She didn't just throw it off. She just didn't ignore it. She didn't just forget about it. Some of you will just, maybe you didn't even listen to what I preached. Some of you, after you leave this place, you'll just forget about all that was preached. You won't even remember. It's about pondering things in your heart. You'll just forget about it. And some of you know it now and you remember it now, but you'll get distracted and you won't think about it later. God wants you to take time to be alone with God, to pray, to meditate on what you've been getting from the Bible in youth group, in church. When you read during this Christmas season, it's a time to ponder and wonder. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray that we would do what Mary did. Lord, that we would learn as she did the things that she had to learn about you. And Lord, we're no different if we're saved. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. And I pray for anybody that has not accepted Jesus Christ, that there's been no room in their heart for Jesus as Savior, that they would realize today he's their best friend who died and rose again, that they might have eternal life and they might call upon him to save them today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.